This is Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Our righteousness is not us. We can do no righteous. We can't do anything righteous. Our righteousness only comes as we obey ourselves or submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and do what He wants, because He's walking in righteousness and He's leading us in right ways. We can't walk with Christ physically now, but we've been given the Holy Spirit to lead us, to help us live and do things right before God, those things that honor Him. You see, righteousness isn't about a certain level of good that we do. That was somewhat righteous. Righteousness is all or none. It's really about doing what God wants us to do.
When we do something good, it always makes us feel good inside, right? Well, today, Pastor Troy says that our righteousness isn't our doing. It's God working within us through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit allows us to know what's good and what's wrong. God gives you the Holy Spirit when you trust Him and believe that He is who He says He is. We can't take credit for doing the right thing because, well, in the end, it's God who's guiding us. He's the one who allows us to know what to do and when to do it. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the book of John chapter 16 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
If someone believes in God, they will not murder. But when someone doesn't believe in God, right and wrong, moral absolutes, they're capable of anything. And so that murder happens as a result of the sin of unbelief. God knows that the sin produces sins. So unbelief has to be dealt with, and that's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's not making us just moral people. He's making us God-fearing people. And that will make us moral people. And God wants to use you without you trying. I'll explain that a little bit later. So, He convicts the world of sin. Second, He convicts the world of righteousness. Verse 10 says, "Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more." See, Jesus was the standard of what was right and truth. When He was going to go away, we wouldn't have that standard here anymore to know or discern. And so we need the Holy Spirit in us that He goes, this is right, this is wrong. You're not walking with Christ, but you have Him in you, and I will discern for you. You don't make that decision. That was Satan's lie. You can decide on your own right and wrong, by your own feelings, what you think, your own experiences and reasons and excuses. No, He decides that no matter how you feel, this is still right and this is still wrong. For most people, righteousness is seen in degrees. Well, I'm better than them. Well, they're worse than me. Some even surround themselves with people that make them feel better about themselves. I have a group of friends, and you know, we always have to have a few that I feel better than. That makes me feel better. But guess what? Those degrees of righteousness, they're not going to matter when it comes to heaven. Because they think that if they have more good than bad, more righteous works than bad works, that I'll get into heaven. Surely Jesus will allow me in. He's loving. But see, Jesus said that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you can't even get into heaven. And they were doing as much as they could according to the law, checking off the boxes. And then in that same sermon where Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the religious leaders, He said near the end of that sermon, therefore be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, you want to talk about shutting the door on thinking you may have enough righteousness? Well, that did it. But Jesus was righteous. And Jesus was perfect. And those who walk with him, his disciples, they weren't perfect. We know that. We saw their lives. We saw their mistakes and the many times they put their foot in their mouth. But because Jesus led, they followed Jesus. They ended up where Jesus wanted to be. And they saw the acts of Christ. And they, because others would observe them walking with him, they on the outside would just lump them up as being with Jesus. If Jesus is righteous, they're righteous. Because Jesus was leading. And they were guilty by association. You see, that's what happens for us. Our righteousness is not us. We can't do anything righteous. Our righteousness only comes as we obey ourselves or submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit and do what He wants because He's walking in righteousness. And He's leading us in right ways. We can't walk with Christ physically now, but we've been given the Holy Spirit to lead us, to help us live and do things right before God, those things that honor Him. You see, righteousness isn't about a certain level of good that we do. That was somewhat righteous. Righteousness is all or none. It's really about doing what God wants us to do. You did it or you didn't. You're doing what God wants you to do or you're not. If God wants you to stand and worship Him, not very difficult, right? We're trying to lend the best use of our talents to help usher that and make it easy for us. So if God says, I want you to stand and worship me, then when you worship Him, that's a righteous act. If God says, I want you to lift your hands to me and you do that, that is a righteous act. If God says, I don't want you lifting your hands. You're drawing attention to yourself. Your heart's not in the right place. I don't want you lifting your hands. I want you to keep them down and worship me with all of your heart. Then keeping your hands down is a righteous act. If God tells you you've been very busy lately, you're trying to accomplish too much, I want you to take a nap. That's a righteous nap. We all pray for those. Only works of obedience are righteous works. I hope you understand that. You can do many good things. The Mormon church and those who follow the false Jesus in the Mormon church will go out and do some great things for the community. Are those righteous works? They're good works, but they're not righteous works. Only works of obedience. All the rest can become self-righteous. There's some motive of ourself in there. There's something in it for personal gain, perhaps, because they are not fully about His glory and His will, but ours. Jesus said, and He set the standard, I only do that which the Father sent me to do. The Holy Spirit fills us and kind of carries that same banner. We are only going to do what the Father gives us to do. So the Holy Spirit convinces people that their righteousness is not really righteous, that their good deeds are not enough for heaven. You could say righteousness is not about a good work, but about the right work. So He convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and third, He convicts the world of judgment. He convicts the world of judgment. Verse 11 says, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Many don't like to believe in judgment or a coming judgment or being judged. But there's a judgment coming. Jesus spoke more of hell and warned more of hell than He spoke of heaven. So the part of the Holy Spirit's job is to convince people that judgment is real. To give us and everyone, saved and unsaved, have this inner sense that there is a such thing as justice. We all have it. Even a criminal understands this. If one of their guys gets shot, they suddenly feel compelled to get revenge, justice. So we all understand the concept of justice. That's a work of the Holy Spirit in this world that we would understand it. Dogs don't understand it. But we do. If there was a stop sign posted and you saw it, but thought, well, there's no one around. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, there's no one around. I'm just going to shoot right through this thing. If a cop pulls you over that you didn't see, are you guilty or not? Well, no one got hurt. No one was hurt. There was no one around. I thought it was just there for like traffic. No, it's a stop sign. You disobeyed it. You broke the law. You're guilty. So justice is required. Would a ticket be earned? Yes. Or let's say you didn't see it. Let's say you didn't even see it. You just go right through it. The cop pulls you over and says, did you see that stop sign? You say, no, I didn't. Do you think that's good enough for him? Oh, well, since you didn't see it, no harm, no foul. Go ahead. No, he's going to say, well, you will next time. I'm going to give you a ticket because you broke the law, whether you saw it or not. Well, guys, in the spiritual realm, there's something called justice. And sin must be atoned for. Sin has happened in every life. Now, Jesus said, I'll take it. And so for those who believe in Him and follow Him, repent and follow Him, all of theirs is taken care of. It's covered, paid. But for those who do not repent and follow Him, put their faith in Him, it's on them. And it's an eternal judgment that is ahead. The final destination of those who will follow the lead of the ruler of this world who is judged. Judgment happens, and it happens for them because they're following the lead of the one who is going to be judged himself. What is his lead? How are they following his lead? Well, his lead is to refuse to give God glory. His lead is to seek glory for them, for himself. His lead is to live as if God is not an authority at all in his life. That's the lead that the world is following. Just to live, you don't even have to be a bad or mean person. Just to live in such a way as you discount that there is a God who gets to tell you right from wrong is to live in sin and unbelief and to earn the judgment of God.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There, you'll find an archive of previous messages from the verse-by-verse, chapter-by-chapter study of the books of the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website, again, is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the teachings of this program, and we pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Even if you've done many, many great works, even if you're a good person. You know, before the Titanic sank, that they actually received warning that they were heading into area where icebergs were dangerous and could cause some damage. But because they believed they had an unsinkable ship, they dismissed the warnings. They said, you know what? You're just disturbing us. We've got high-class individuals we're trying to minister to or pour into and serve. And so, thanks for the warning. Got it. But they figured they could beat it. And you know that story. If God wrote a Bible, you know, after the apostles, that would probably have been one of the stories in the scriptures. A good example of, here's what happens. The devil, he's like this captain. A ship that we're all on. We're born on board this ship. And he is saying, I'm the captain. You know what? And you could do anything you want. You want to swing from the chandeliers, you go for it. Whatever you want to do, have fun. I don't care. But what he doesn't tell everyone is that the ship that they're on is sinking, and they will soon all be dead. Jesus is like the lifeboat, saying, get off that ship. I want to take you out of this world. I want to save you. So the Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment. It's coming. Don't you want to escape it? So he's needed, he's active, and finally, as we close, he activates. The Holy Spirit is here and he activates. Verses 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and in judgment. So he says, I will go away and I will send the Holy Spirit to you. When he comes, he will do these things. He activates and he activates us into his service. In other words, it is the Holy Spirit that does the work of convicting. The Holy Spirit does that, not us. We don't muster it up. We don't prepare it so well. They'll be convicted by this. That's not our job. Our job is to follow the Holy Spirit, to do with excellence all that he gives us to do, the best of our ability, what we can do. It is his job to convict and to convince. But God does use us in that process. We are agents of that conviction. Our words, our actions, the things that we do, others are watching and observing, and the Holy Spirit is whispering and speaking and highlighting and emphasizing to convict and convince the world of their need of him. In the book of Acts, you will see that every conversion has a human instrument or agent involved in bringing the gospel or bringing that conviction about. Think about Peter on the day of Pentecost. He's just a fisherman. He's not the most eloquent of speech. It was the word of God that did the convicting, but he had to share it. He shared it. Now, some might say, well, what about Saul, Saul of Tarsus? I mean, he saw a vision, knocked back. You know, that was all the Lord, no human instrument. But I want you to remember what the Lord said in that moment. He said, Saul, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, isn't it? You know what he was speaking of? Those goads of conviction. What conviction? Well, the Holy Spirit's conviction. But you see, Paul was there when they killed a young man named Stephen. He was there, and those who were doing it had laid their garments at his feet, and he kind of watched him. He was the locker. And he saw it all unfold. And he saw this man die. Stand. It's like, come on, man. Just give in something. Why would you stand for this? Why would you stand for a lie? And Stephen's death was used by the Holy Spirit. Stephen's death, his act, his sacrifice, was used by the Holy Spirit to convict Saul. What they did wasn't right. Saul knew that. What Stephen stood for did not make sense, but it lined up with all the recent events about who Jesus was. And then Saul had to deal with the fact that Stephen was actually willing to die for Christ and all that he said about him. All that brought conflict and conviction to Saul, so that he was ready for that moment with Christ. I believe that moment with Christ was not so much about his salvation, although it led to that, as much as about his calling. Saul's calling would be so violent, there'd be so much at risk, there'd be so many times he'd go, man, is this real? Was I really supposed to do this? That he needed that kind of experience with the Lord to hold on to him. So in all cases, we see the Holy Spirit working powerfully, but using normal people, just normal people who love and trust God. God is able to perform miracles, send visions, and send dreams. I've heard of Muslims whose story is that they came to faith because Christ visited them in a dream and they gave their life to him. You say, well, where's the witness in that? Where's the human agent in that? Listen, all of these guys will share a testimony that this was all set up by normal people they had seen. People they may have even killed. They saw normal people filled with the Holy Spirit who gave a word or left an impression or were willing to die. And so they had a Saul experience. But God used a lot of human beings in the process. The Holy Spirit impacted the world with the apostles, but it wasn't because of the apostles. I mean, most of these apostles didn't qualify if they were to fill out a job resume today. Like, they're not going to do anything great. Think about Peter's resume. What do? I'm a fisherman. I can't catch anything, but when the Lord told me to cast some, I caught a bunch. He stuck his foot in his mouth all the time, had a temper. So, overreacted under pressure. Can put that on your resume. Put in my resume. I overreact under pressure. Hey, we'll hire you for the management position, in fact. We can use an overreactor. How about James and John? James and John wanted to destroy a whole town because they didn't want to, because that town didn't want to hear what they have to say. Oh, you don't want to hear us? Jesus, you want us to call fire? We'll call fire now. We'll kill these people. Take them all out. Like, oh, that's how you want to do this. And he gave him a nickname. You guys are sons of thunder. You guys are turning to violence. Look, listen, just follow me. Thomas, on his resume, party pooper. You guys want to have fun? I can bring it down. Negative. We're going to do these great things. Yeah, they probably won't happen, though. I'm Thomas. I don't know. Unless I see the Lord. So it wouldn't have made for great resumes. They were average, ordinary people. But the Holy Spirit activated them. They let the Holy Spirit lead. And they were not themselves. Like Paul the Apostle would say, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. They let go. They let go of the world, the things around them, and they let the Holy Spirit lead. As a result, the Holy Spirit used them to reach the world by their words, their actions, and even their willingness to die for the glory of God because of their belief. When you look in the Holy Spirit's toolbox, resources, the people, you may find a sharp or brilliant instrument here or there, but most often you just find us. That's it. And what makes the difference is the Holy Spirit in us when we allow Him to lead what we say and what we do. There are only four Gospels, but someone once said there's actually a fifth. And he put it this way. He said this, you are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. People hear what you say and they see what you do. So what is the gospel, according to you? A lot of people will not make the effort to pick up the Bible and read what you tell them to. But they will watch your life. They will see what you do and they will hear what you say. And for them, the Holy Spirit's desire is that they will begin to see Christ. Then He will convict. You know what spills out of a pitcher if you bump it? Whatever's in it. Well, the same is true with us. When the world bumps us or people bump us, you know what comes out? Whatever you're filled with. If you're filled with anger, then when the bump takes place, anger will come out. It'll spill out. If you're filled with pressure and frustration, because you're holding them in, you're pinning them up, that will come out in explosion. But if you're filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit will come out. Guys, the Holy Spirit is here. Do you have Him? Are you letting Him lead? He's active, and He wants to activate.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned some new things today as Pastor Troy taught through the Gospel of John. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Next time, Pastor Troy will share more from the book of John and express additional examples of how Jesus proved He was unlike any other man that ever lived. Join us then, right here on Building on the Solid Rock.
shine as we grow in.